is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy, the global economy. I welcome Elizabeth Peake, writes a column for The Hill, writes a column for Fox News, much on Fox Business, to comment on where we are waiting for the Federal Reserve, because we have in front of us an economy that doesn't want to quit. Therein lies the mystery of these last months, waiting for the recession. Liz, the Federal Reserve has done its job to take rates up so fast and so directly and so bluntly that the market was intimidated. I'll put that word on the table and debate it later. But in any event, the American economy depends not on market conditions. It depends on the consumer, more than 70%. The consumer won't back off. Can we explain this even? Good weather? Does this explain it, Liz?
Good evening, John. Would that that were the answer, because at least we can kind of get our arms around that. It's pretty hard to imagine in a period when consumer sentiment is sinking like a stone and there's all kinds of red flags about wage growth cooling, the job market cooling, et cetera. It's hard to imagine that consumers continue to spend. We remember that consumer spending had been declining or had been falling off in terms of growth rate over the last couple of months. And so the most recent read was sort of a surprise. Part of it was spending not on services, which has been strong throughout, but also on goods. And part of that was automobiles. And I have to say, I was reading one or actually maybe two stories in the Journal and, I don't know, the FT or someplace about all of a sudden car inventories being plush. In other words, you know, it's been impossible to buy a car. I'm sure you've read about people wanting a Ford Bronco and they have to wait a year. I mean, it's outrageous. So all of a sudden, apparently dealer lots are beginning to fill up. In some cases, they're beginning to negotiate a little bit on price. And I kind of wonder if people who've been holding back from buying a car didn't maybe see this as a pretty good opportunity to step in, because in fact, car purchases were up. But in general, we kind of go back to the idea that the consumer came into this downturn, that is to say the COVID downturn, in pretty good shape. And then they got a lot of money from the government. And then they've had a very, very strong jobs market. So consumers financially, you know, there's some red flags. Young people are having trouble meeting credit card debt. Some delinquencies are up. Credit card spending is down, et cetera. But the numbers continue to surprise on the upside. I just don't think that continues. I think we'll get a jobs read this Friday. If the job number comes in pretty soft, which most people expect, around 200,000 or so, I think that does begin to tell a story of a weakening job market. And I think then the consumer gets religion and begins to slow down its spending. But, you know, look, these are the zigzags that have kept everybody on edge, kept investors on edge, and by the way, kept the Fed on edge. The Fed doesn't really know what to do right now. Excuse me. The market is banking on another rate hike in June. Odds are 60%, according to market statistics, that they're going to hike rates again. Frankly, I find that pretty astonishing, given where we are in this cycle, given that inflation definitely has come down, not as much as we need it to, but it's come down, and considering that three big banks just failed. That is not normally the kind of stage that is set for further rate hikes. So we'll see what they do on, I think it's June 13th or 14th. But my gosh, the Fed continues to kind of pile on, almost ensuring a downturn by year end.
So the word pause was retired for a moment, and the word hike is back on the table. Did that happen over the weekend? Because a week ago, the pause was everywhere.
It is true. But we had, four days ago, more inflation data came out, and it was not very positive. It was not very constructive. It showed actually some acceleration in some aspects of the data. We see constantly that wage increases are a threat to the Fed, to the Fed's effort to tackle inflation. So again, yeah, what's interesting is, you know, Jay Powell in his last remarks said the threat of undercooking is probably now about balanced with the threat of doing, in other words, the threat of doing too much is about the same now as doing too little, because for about 6 months, he argued that there was more likelihood that they would err on this, on the side of being too cautious. Now, I think he is giving very real odds to the fact that they're on the verge of overdoing it. And I think a lot of the Fed board agrees with him. But that doesn't mean that they're going to relinquish their fight against inflation. And let's face it, inflation is not anywhere near 2%.
The monetary policy is unclear. So we move over to Treasury. Treasury for months has been warning of the debt ceiling limit, and they moved the date around somewhere early June. I don't know. It's all vague. But we do have news now that there is something of a conversation advancing to the floor of the House and eventually to the Senate to pass a debt limit reorganization. In other words, raise it another 2 years and make some, what you'd have to say, ceremonial cuts. Liz, here is the problem for those of us following this story closely, and it's a very small number of people. The $80 billion vouchsafed by the Biden administration last year to the IRS is now said, according to the Wall Street Journal, to be lighter by $21 billion. That's what the Wall Street Journal says. Tomorrow will be another number. But in any event, this is a crisis for those advancing a clean bill for the president, including the progressives. What is the thinking here? If you like it, I don't. Is it that simple, Liz? It's not actually about policy. It's about a food fight.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? I mean, some of the stuff you just can't imagine. I mean, literally. So they're, yeah, exactly. They're add $80 billion. What was the number? 87,000 IRS agents to go to work trying to find money that the very wealthy have secreted and taxes that they owe. And that's going to be really an important element in our country going forward. John, you and I know that just isn't true. And the truth is, the wealthiest amongst us have legions of tax accountants and people figuring out their taxes. And believe me, good luck with a newly hired IRS agent going after any of those people. It is without a doubt the case that the IRS surge is going to be aimed at middle-class Americans.
It has to be, Liz. That's where the money is.
It has to be. It has to be. That is where the money is. There's no question that there are a lot of businesses. Look at, I don't know, restaurants, any business where you have a lot of cash and tips and stuff like that. You know, people are not reporting all of their income and so forth. So this is, you know, and I know that this is simply talking points. Elizabeth Warren gets out there and talks about how we have to make the wealthiest Americans pay their fair share and stop cheating on their taxes. Okay, anyone who looks at the numbers would conclude that America is extremely steeply progressive. One of the most progressive tax regimes in the Western world is allowing very few people not to pay their fair share, and there are even fewer people who are not paying what they owe. It's preposterous. Oh, to your point, this is a lot of shadow boxing, or maybe that's a bad analogy. I don't know. But, you know, I think on the far right and the far left, there's a lot of squawking going on. And it's not going, hopefully it doesn't amount to much. Hopefully we get through this. And then, as Newt Gingrich said in an op-ed over the weekend, then we can kind of start again. I mean, then look, the next thing that happens is the GOP has to agree to a budget. Lots of time to fight and claw and scrap when the next budget comes up, right? This all doesn't have to be under the debt ceiling. I think in this view, in this case, President Biden said he would not negotiate. Kevin McCarthy brought him to the table and he had to negotiate. The Democrats are yelling not just about the IRS thing, but they are apoplectic at the thought that some benefits programs might now require people to work in order to receive those benefits. People, by the way, who are working age, prime working age, no dependents, and are able-bodied. Tell me, in 10 words or less, why those people should not be working. It's ridiculous. And again, they're having an absolute fit about any changes to the workfare that has gotten watered down, by the way, since the Obama administration. And I think they are totally on the wrong side of public opinion on this, et cetera. Okay, what did conservatives find appalling about this? That the cuts aren't deeper, that the student loan program of Biden isn't going to be reduced. My view is that'll go to the court, so I don't think they had to make that a big fight here. But I think everybody ends up with something in this. I think we should just settle it, and then let's move on to the bigger issues, because there are big issues out there.
What is identified is the intransigence on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How Mr. Jeffries and Mr. McCarthy are dealing with the same resistance, just in different language, but the same resistance. No, 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 1,000 times no. Ken Buck for the Republicans, no, no, no to a deal. And
yeah.
I believe Jayapal, the leader of the progressives, no, no, no. Elizabeth Warren is definitely no, no, no. So what it's exposed is both parties are being driven by their tails.
No question.
They're wagging
no
the question. Party, except all of a sudden they met a dog that wouldn't obey.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly right. But I would say this. If you're a Democrat, this is your president's deal, right? I mean, the president has signed off on it. He wants it passed. So it's one thing for the conservative caucus to say, hey, we don't like this, and make life difficult for Kevin McCarthy, Speaker of the House. But these other guys, they're guys running for re-election. What does it look like to undermine his deal? I don't think that's a very good place for Democrats to land. And in fact, early on, I've got to research this, but I'm not sure. But I thought I saw Jeffries come out with some pretty negative comments about the bill. And then very quickly, he turned around and said, oh, it's a great bill. Well, for the Democratic leader in Congress not to want to pass his president's bill, it's ridiculous. So I think this is a bigger problem from Democrats than Republicans. I think Republicans are, sure, they're fighting their conservative caucus, but that's okay. I mean, I think the conservative caucus has a lot to be admired for this year, including getting Kevin McCarthy in the position to lead this fight. And I hope this deal passes. And then, as I say, we can get on to the next issue, which is the next spending budget.
Yes, and watch the IRS cry poverty because it's only getting $60 billion, not $80 billion. Liz Peek of The Hill, a columnist of Fox News, a columnist much on Fox Business. We're going to turn to the governor of Florida, who has entered the Potomac fever race for the presidency in 2024. I'm John Batchelor.